Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, let me tell you about two good watching places for, you know, whether it's Major League Soccer, the Dynamo Dash, it's the Premier League, the Serie A. One is FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, one near Montrose and Westheimer. That's the new location. And then the other one, which is my favorite, north of Washington on Shepherd. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. They've got an outdoor patio area, tons of monitors. You go in there, you ask for your game. Also, you get the craft cocktails, great burgers, voted number one by the Houston Press, and also great chicken sandwiches. And then Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, near the Marquee Entertainment Center, home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. Get out there, go out there and say hello to David. Go out there and say hello to Peter. Hugh O'Connor's Pub. They got great, great food out there. Bangers and mash, I recommend. And all the great tap beer and whiskey offerings. All right. With that, we bring in the president of the Houston Dynamo. He is John Walker. He joins us now. John, times have been busy for you. Thank you very much to make a little time for us here on the radio.
Absolutely, Glenn. Happy to do it and good to see you.
Always good to see you. And I know you've been involved in a number of things. I guess I want to just start off with the pretty monumental announcement with the collective bargaining agreement coming to terms with the NWSL players and the league. I know you worked heavily on that. Maybe a little bit of insight into that. We've seen a lot of the nice things that have come out of that, increased salaries, et cetera. So maybe your just thoughts on that overall for the women's game.
No, it's fantastic for the league and for women's professional soccer in this country. To reach that first, you know, collective bargaining deal with the Players Association. I was fortunate enough to be asked to participate at the beginning of October. We put an awful lot of time into it. There were three or four of us from around the league who stepped in to help from an ownership perspective and trying to create a platform for women with improved, increases in pay, improved standards, and just a path forward to make women's professional soccer all that it can be in this country. And so we took it to the wire. You know, training camp started yesterday, and we were only able to reach an agreement over the weekend. But that's how it goes in conversations like that. As you know, there's some back and forth, and it can take a little longer than you hope. But we got it over the line. That's the good news. And now it's all about them rolling the ball out there and scoring goals.
Now, having played in leagues that were on shaky standing back in the 80s and there was the thoughts of league going under, teams going under constantly, went and joined other teams, leagues reformed. They tried to find new investment from owners. Where do you see the NWSL right now as far as its footing? Is it a firm footing now? Do you feel better about it now with this agreement? Where do you see it right now?
Yeah, I think the agreement is just one sort of tentpole that provides great footing for the league. I think the other is the increasing desire to participate in the league from different ownership groups who've come in and the notion of expansion. You know, this coming season we'll be adding two franchises, one in Los Angeles, one in San Diego, and there are other conversations going on. Ted Siegel, our controlling owner, is on the expansion committee for NWSL, and they're fielding incoming calls about wanting to join the league from cities around North America. And so I think that's another one. This, 2 years ago during the Challenge Cup, a new media rights deal with CBS was struck, and we're sort of in the middle of that. But in the middle of those contracts, you start having conversations about extensions, and I think that's going well. So I think there are a lot of leading indicators there that would suggest that it's a growing league, it's going to be a thriving league, and we're excited to be a part of it.
I get the expansion piece, and I think people talk a lot about that with Major League Soccer, too, because it's incredible how fast it's expanded. I get that as an interest. But is there a worry in your mind about it maybe expanding too fast without making it a little bit more viable in a lot of markets that need it, including Houston?
Yeah, you're right. And I would say that there's been an awful lot of thoughtful discussion about that within the NWSL board and among the current owners. You know, there's also this notion of, you know, the dilution of the talent pool. And so you want to make sure you don't do that. And I think it's going to be measured. It's going to be slow. This is not going to be a 30 team league in the next couple years. It's going to be 12 in 2022. Whether or not we add one or two more in the next couple of years is still open for debate. But I think we're going to be thoughtful. The owners, you know, they have a good mindset. There's some really, really talented folks among the NWSL ownership. You have the Wilfs who came in, who own the Vikings, and now Orlando City, the folks in Portland, you know, who do such a great job with the Timbers and the Thorns, are very active and vocal in conversations about the future of the league and the new teams as well. Angie Long in Kansas City and Julie Ehrman in Los Angeles with Angel City. I mean, they have a real great vision for what they hope this league will be as well. And so there's some great talent, and they'll be thoughtful about it.
John Walker, Dynamo president. Okay, one of the other big pieces in the offseason, we've had a lot of really great things happening. Under 23 team, we finally have a reserve team here. This is going to open so many doors. Ted Siegel has added a technical director position, something the Dynamo have never had. This is investment. The designated player was Sebastian Ferreira, Sebas, who is also on this show. So a lot of great things happening, including the Fubo deal. And I'm just going to step back and let you kind of tell the fan base about the Fubo deal and what that means for both the Dynamo and Fubo.
Yeah. So as most of your listeners, I think, you know, probably know, Fubo TV is a streaming service where you can find a lot of different sporting events. And we're really happy that this coming season and for seasons to come, you know, Dynamo fans will be able to stream our matches via Fubo TV. We're very close to announcing a local broadcast partner who will produce those games. And so I can't tell you exactly where on Fubo TV yet you'll be able to find it. But if you're a Fubo TV subscriber, you'll be able to stream Dynamo matches this coming season. So
you might be able to figure it out where it's going to be. Too,
yeah,
right?
You might be able to figure
that
out.
By the way, I have Fubo.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. But, you know, I think for us, you know, that kind of partner with that kind of reach from a streaming perspective, you know, certainly it ticks a box there. But the financial investment that they're making in the club over the next several years is money that can be used to help improve the stadium, help to, you know, with acquiring players on the pitch, and just improving everything that we do. So it's a hefty commitment to us. And it's predicated largely on this notion that the state of Texas, you know, in the near term, will legalize sports betting, and you will be able to bet via a sports betting app, hopefully Fubo, on any sporting event around the world. And, you know, over 30 states in the United States have already legalized that. We had a legislative session in 2021 where all of the sports teams participated in some lobbying efforts to get it presented in the House. Didn't quite make it through the House, but we're optimistic for the next legislative session. And, you know, Fubo is in the sports betting business in other states, and, you know, they would be our partner once that becomes legal in Texas.
John Walker, Dynamo president. This is tremendous information. Last one before I let you go. The Houston Dash now have a president. Again, this is more resources. This takes some pressure off the head coach, James Clarkson. This allows you to focus on different things. And Jessica O'Neill comes in from the NFL Charlotte franchise and also Charlotte FC. She's been working, preparing them for their inaugural season in Major League Soccer. Just some thoughts on that. And again, what this symbolizes under Ted Siegel.
Yeah, I think, you know, when Ted came in and acquired the club and we were discussing opportunities, you know, we certainly think that there's a tremendous opportunity with the Dash. And when it comes to the business side, you know, we have a lot of shared resources here in the club, myself included, where I bounce from Dash to Dynamo to stuff at the stadium. And to have somebody dedicated to the Dash full time is what it deserves. and what it needs to be able to maximize it for our fans, for our players, and I think for the city of Houston as well. So it's a tremendous addition for us. Jessica she's a bright and very energetic young professional who is really eager to get started, and she had a press conference earlier today and knocked it out of the park. I spent some good time with her about a month ago. She came into town and we drove around. I showed her the facilities and we talked sports and we talked sports business, and she'll be a tremendous asset to our club.
John, as always, a great update. Thank you so much. By the way, we've seen some great ticket pricing now also for the Dynamo. That's very, very economical, great value that fans should jump on. I'm sure you had a big piece in that. So congratulations on that effort as well. And as always, thank you very much for coming on the program. We always appreciate your transparency.
Glenn, happy to do it anytime. And then make sure your listeners know that we're rolling it out on February 27th at 6 o'clock over at PNC Stadium. So hope to see everybody there.
Yeah, your commentators are getting in shape too. We're ready. We're working the vocal cords a little bit, and we're excited about it as well. John, thank you very much.
Great stuff. Thanks, Glenn.
A big thank you to John Walker, the president of the Houston Dynamo, for coming on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm tonight. A couple of things here. ESPN975.com, that's where you get the podcast of this show. Also, you can give me a follow, Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Soc, S-O-C, or at Soccer Matters GD. Facebook Soccer Matters, and if you want to find out more about this host, Glenn Davis Soccer. com. Quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown before we go to break. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I've bought from Advantage. Right now, I'm in a lease. I absolutely love the X5 I have. I mentioned many times on this show, I drove it 21 hours to New Jersey. An amazing drive. It is the ultimate driving machine. You can get in one, too. All you got to do is go down to Advantage BMW. They'll take you through sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. You can get in a 3, a 5, a 7 series. Advantage BMW in Midtown. I shop Advantage. You should too. They're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. What an interview we have now. The biggest signing in Houston Dynamo history, $4.3 million transfer fee. That's what they're saying is out there. Plus, that combined with salary makes him the biggest signing. He is from Paraguay. He is Sebastian Ferreira. We're going to call him Sebas. And we will get the help of from the Houston Dynamo, Edgar Valise, here to translate. Sebas, how excited are you to be in Houston and to play in Major League Soccer?
Buenas, muy contento de poder llegar a esta linda institución que me comentaron lo que es el proyecto que tiene el equipo. Quiere seguir creciendo, muy, muy feliz de llegar a esta liga que está creciendo día a día enormemente. Así que ya espero poder arrancar esta liga de la mejor manera y ayudar al equipo que confió mucho en mí para poder contratarme.
Very excited to join Glenn. I think when I was presented the project, you get a good idea of where they want to go, where I fit in that. And then this is also a league that just keeps growing. So very excited to take part in that. And I hope to start on the right foot. It's quickly approaching. So we're wrapping up preparations for that. Just kind of keeping our heads down and focusing fully on what's to come.
Sebas Ferreira from Paraguay, designated player striker for the Houston Dynamo, by the way, with Libertad. Scoring a goal in every two games, 27 goals in 54 partidos. How much MLS have you watched, Sebas, and what is it that kind of jumps out to you about the league?
Siempre veía a los compatriotas que son amigos míos, veía muchos partidos de ellos, veía siempre los resultados, así que veía que le iba bien a muchos, así que me gustó mucho eso. Hay muchos paraguayos que triunfaron acá y yo espero ser uno de ellos también.
I saw the league pretty often just because I have a lot of friends from Paraguay who play in MLS, and I saw some of the success that they had. And, you know, that inspired me. I want to put my name on that list. I'll be one of the individuals from my home country that has made an impact here in this league.
Have you talked to other players like Cecilio Dominguez, Rodney Redis, Miguel Almaron? Have you spoken to any of them, Sebas, to hear about the league and the adjustment to it?
Sí, estuve hablando con casi todos los que nombró, así que me comentaron lo que es la liga. Es una hermosa liga, como dije, el rato que está creciendo muy rápido. Yo creo que ya de esta liga fueron muchos jugadores a Europa y ahora mismo Jesús Medina, estuve hablando con él también, con Ronnie y con Cecilio, son muy amigos míos, así que eso también me ayudó mucho.
Absolutely, I pretty much spoke with everybody on that list. You could add Jesus Medina to that list, and I mean, everyone pretty much had the same thing to say. This is a league that is just rapidly growing, one that, you know, there's still so much potential, and one of the things that kind of drew me about that is just kind of being a part of that and also leaving my impact. So they had really great things to say about the league, and then some of these players have gone on to play in Europe, and they talked about how it helped them with that transition as well.
How hard is it to leave Libertad where, you know, you had so many fans supporting you, you scored a lot of goals? It's a club that is close to you in your heart. How difficult is that, Sebas?
Sí, la verdad que yo estaba muy contento en Libertad. Era muy querido por la gente, por la afición, pero también yo creo que la MLS es una liga donde uno puede crecer futbolísticamente. Es un paso muy importante para mí. Como dije hace rato, la gente del club me comentó el proyecto que tenía, me interesó mucho y yo creo que era momento de seguir creciendo y hoy estoy acá muy feliz.
And it was definitely challenging. I mean, I was really happy there. Fans really treated me well back in Libertad, but I also felt that I needed a new opportunity, a new challenge to grow. And I thought I could find that in MLS. When I was presented this project, it pretty much touched on what I wanted to accomplish in terms of just being able to grow, being able to experience something different. And that's kind of what led to me joining the team.
Sebas, do you feel a high level of pressure being, you know, the biggest signing in Houston Dynamo history? I mean, this is a big deal. Do you feel pressure to produce this year?
Yo creo que más que presión, yo tomaría como una motivación. Yo creo que eso es muy, muy importante para mí. Yo ya voy a dar todo de mí para estar a la altura de cómo llegué, así que voy a dar todo de mí y Mi meta personal siempre es ser el goleador, así que voy a trabajar para eso, pero con los goles ayudar al equipo, y no solo con los goles, sino también ahí dentro de la cancha en lo que me toca ayudar.
Glenn, I wouldn't necessarily call it pressure. I would describe it as motivation. I'm going to give it my all. I'm not going to leave anything behind just because the club has invested so much in me and they've put me in a position to where I know I can succeed. So my plan and my goals are just to repay that, contribute on the field in goals and just additional things that are just asked of me on the field. So, you know, that's how I would describe it. I wouldn't necessarily call it pressure, more motivation.
Something tells me that Sebas doesn't mind a little bit of that pressure as a goal scorer.
Así mismo, yo siempre digo que el delantero vive de los goles, así que espero poder marcar muchos goles. Yo me voy a preparar para de la mejor manera para poder llegar a ser el goleador, que es lo que estoy buscando.
Absolutely, Glenn. Forwards, they live and die by how many goals, how often they score. And I definitely want to do my end to contribute to that end, because that's the reason why I'm here.
Talking about Sebastian Ferreira, we're going to call him Sebas now. That's what he wants to be called this year in Major League Soccer. How would he describe, Sebas, how would you describe yourself to my listeners as a striker? What type of striker are you? Talk to us a little bit about how you would describe yourself.
No, yo me describo como un delantero que pelea todas las pelotas, que no deja por perdida una, que te da una opción de pase siempre cuando todo ve cerrado, busca una opción de pase con olfato de gol. Tengo muchos goles ahí empujando, así que espero tener muchos de esos en este torneo y como te dije, no dejo una pelota por perdida.
When I say that I'm a player that wants to win every 50-50 ball, I'm the kind of player that wants to find an option when you lose, where space is reduced, where, you know, tight angles. I think some of the highlights people have seen how I make the most out of what I have and kind of capitalize on that. And I would say that I'm somebody that kind of just looks for that little extra to kind of compound it, right? Where you give me an inch and I'll take a mile.
Your time at Morelia in Mexico, what did you learn down there? What was it like playing in Liga MX?
En Morelia aprendí mucho, mucho aprendí. Fue mi primera experiencia saliendo del país. Es un lugar donde sí fui feliz también. Me recibieron de la mejor manera. Creo que no me tocó jugar mucho, mucho en algunos partidos, pero sí aprendí que el ritmo de juego es diferente, es casi igual que acá, así que yo creo que ya tengo algo de experiencia y voy a tratar de corregir los errores que tuve ahí para poder ser mejor aquí.
And I'd say that I learned a lot. It was the first time I went abroad, and when I look back at it, I mean, Morelia was good to me. I was received well by the fans. Maybe I would have wanted to play a little more, but I learned a lot from that experience. It exposed me to a different style of the game, a different pace. And I think that's something that I could learn here because there's some similarities to how Liga MX and MLS are. So I definitely feel like that experience will definitely pay dividends here in the upcoming season.
Speaking of MLS, how tactical do you feel the league is? How physical? You know, what are the things about what you've seen in Major League Soccer that jump out to you tactically and physically?
Yo creo que acá es mucho más dinámico el juego, es más rápido, es más táctico. De repente, como te dije, es mucho más dinámico, se corre más, es un ida y vuelta constante. Así que yo creo que en estos días de pretemporada espero adaptarme lo más rápido posible para poder estar a la par de mis compañeros.
And I'd say that the game here in the U.S. and MLS is just more dynamic. It's definitely a game of speed, one where you just run considerably more. There's a lot of back and forth, so you find yourself throughout the field, and that's something that I'm adjusting to. I think I'm building a really solid foundation here in preseason just because that's the goal, to be able to kind of play that kind of game to where you're contributing throughout the field, not just necessarily up top.
Sebas Ferreira joining us, Dynamo-designated player, biggest signing in Houston Dynamo history from Paraguay, last at Libertad. Very fortunate to have him on the show. Very excited to watch him play this year, as you should be, as fans as well. Let's just talk a little bit about the Paraguayan national team. It's a team that's only got 9 goals in World Cup qualifying, and I would think that Sebas, you have an eye on playing for the full national team one day and being a big contributor.
Así mismo, mi motivación mayor en el fútbol es la selección. Yo voy a trabajar día a día. Yo creo que haciendo bien las cosas acá en el club, voy a poder ser tenido en cuenta en la selección, y estoy trabajando día a día para poder ser tenido en cuenta en la selección.
Absolutely, Glenn. I think my main motivation as a soccer player is to definitely build that foundation to where I am constantly representing my team, my national team, at that international stage and help them get to that next level. And I think that starts with what we do here at the club. If I can contribute here consistently, if I can make an impact here, it kind of makes that choice hard for the head coach to where they have to pay attention to what we're doing up here in MLS and make sure that I'm taken into consideration.
What did he think of Jose Cardoso when he played for Paraguay?
Sí, yo vi muchos videos de él y yo creo que es uno de los mejores delanteros en la historia de Paraguay, así que también me tocó hablar con él un poco. Es una excelente persona y como jugador ya todos sabemos lo que es, así que uno de los mejores que me tocó ver. No me tocó verlo en vivo, pero sí muchos videos de él.
Somebody that I would describe as probably one of the best goal-scoring players for Paraguay, somebody that you just saw a lot of videos of what he accomplished, what he did, some of those breathtaking moments in video, somebody that I briefly have had the chance to interact with, but definitely a well-known name back home.
Who are some of the strikers that he likes to look at and Sebas, that you may model your game after?
En mi puesto, el que más me gusta es Robert Lewandowski porque tiene una y hace, ¿entendés? Y siempre está ahí en el área, siempre te marca el pase, siempre, y es muy efectivo. Eso es lo que más me gusta de él.
Glenn, if I had to say just one player, I'd say Lewandowski. He's just the ultimate goal scorer. He's always in the best position in the right spot and just finds the back of the net. So I would definitely have to say him.
Sebas, what has Paulo Nagamura been saying to you, and how has been the integration into the team, you know, after about 13 days here?
Me recibió de la mejor manera. Estamos hablando ahí con el equipo, nos está comentando su idea de juego día tras día, nos habla, nos muestra videos de cómo es lo que él quiere. Yo creo que vamos a agarrar muy, muy rápido la idea de juego, se vienen los amistosos. Yo creo que eso va a ayudar mucho para poder entender perfectamente lo que él quiere para la liga, para los partidos.
He's welcomed me very well, and I think that as our relationship builds, you kind of see that in how he speaks with us, speaks with me in terms of just what he wants to see from us. And, you know, right around the corner, we're going to start having these scrimmages, and you're going to really be able to see that put into practice. So excited about that, excited about just continuing to build my relationship with him, somebody who's just welcomed me with open arms.
Welcome to Houston, Sebas. Thank you so much for your time. I very much appreciate it. Our listeners appreciate it. We look forward to you scoring a lot of goals for the Houston Dynamo. And again, thank you for your time.
Muchísimas gracias. Muy amable. Y espero conocerlo pronto personalmente. Un abrazo.
A big thank you to Sebas. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Great interview there with the new Paraguayan striker. Biggest signing in Dynamo history. And really looking forward to watching him play. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
And 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Exciting stuff happening off the field, as we have mentioned, for the Houston Dynamo. Quick word here for our presenting sponsor. It's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. All you have to do is give them a call at 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Nobody wants to get in a car accident, but if you do, boat, motorcycle, might work down in a refinery, drive an 18-wheeler. You do need representation. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, will give that to you, and they'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. And let me just say this, a big thank you for John and his firm for being the presenting sponsors and allowing us to talk about soccer here in Houston, Texas, on a network like ESPN 97.5, our 20th anniversary, believe it or not. And for much of it, we've had the Daspit Law Firm along with us. So a big thank you. All right. Head coach of the under 23 team. As we all know, MLS Next coming up. The Dynamo now have in-house essentially their reserve team, their under 23 team. They have named their coach. It is Kenny Bundy, who has been with the Dynamo Academy as well. And Kenny joins us now. Kenny, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Glenn.
Well, this has to be a blessing in disguise for the Houston Dynamo organization to finally now have a reserve team, you know, bridging that vital gap.
Yeah, I mean, I think number one, you know, when this whole project was announced, it was about 18 months before it actually kicked off. And so I think there were rumors floating around that this is what the league wanted to transition to. And, you know, it was an interesting idea. I think there's still a lot of questions, and there was a lot of questions when it was proposed, but now that it's here and we actually have an opportunity to give our talent an opportunity, which is something you'll hear me say a lot, is how do we give our top talent opportunity? It's really exciting. I think we had a really good run with RGV, and that was a project that, you know, again, I think in that space, it was really important that we tried something. But now having it in-house and obviously having the players side by side, training side by side, the connection with the first team, it's a huge opportunity for us as a club.
Yeah, it was always challenging down in the Rio Grande Valley to really offer that to you guys. Okay, so now you've got this vital piece. You got pros that can drop down and play with these younger guys. You've got this opportunity for them. You're monitoring players better. You got all the organic that comes with it, which is basically, you know, I'm looking at the field you're on today, and literally across the field, they will be looking at the first team going, that's the place that I have to get. So how much of this is important when it comes to simply that organic nature and having everything in one area down at Houston Sports Park to you?
I mean, that's the biggest piece, to be honest. I think we're very fortunate because there are clubs that, you know, they're 30, 40 miles away from their first team. And, you know, that presents all sorts of other issues or logistical pieces. But for us, being in-house and, you know, minus the rain, we're on field three. The gates open up directly across. It allows players to move back and forth. It allows our staff with the Dynamo 2 to meet with the first team staff every morning and every afternoon, talk about players, talk about different training sessions, talk about what's coming up. And I think that only closes the gap between our young players and first team players.
Exciting stuff. Kenny Bundy, now the under 23 head coach. And of course, these guys are going to be traveling just like a professional soccer yeah. player around the country. Is there anything else from an overview perspective you can give us about the under 23 league? I guess it's called MLS Next. Is that
it's
what
called?
It's called
MLS Next Pro.
Pro.
So okay. they're trying to link it obviously with the academy that we have now. So MLS Next is the MLS platform for the academy, and then MLS Next Pro is the professional league going into MLS. So yeah, I mean, I think everybody probably saw the guidelines that came out. Those publicly came out. I think there's a lot of pieces to still work through because, you know, we're going to have a different array of players moving up, down. Not every team in the MLS is in it for the first year. So obviously, I think in a perfect world, everybody thinks if the first team travels to Philly, then the second team travels to Philly. But with not having every team in it, it'll make a challenging schedule for the first year. But the bottom line is it's a professional league. And I think the under 23 has been used, but there is no age limit. So if you find a guy that has MLS potential and he's 24, 25 and maybe in and out of USL, you have all the right to go and grab that guy if he fits the model that you want. So it's an interesting league because it's a balance between these young guys and getting them what they need and creating that professional environment, but also putting them around guys that can close the gap to what it is to be an MLS player.
So why would you want a 24 or 25-year-old guy who's been in the USL, probably not going to make the first-team roster in Major League Soccer? I get it from the guidance standpoint, but aren't you going to get that from the first team, from guys that haven't been playing or maybe are coming back from injury?
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm just giving that as a hypothetical because I think the U23 moniker has been put on it, and it's not necessarily that. So you might see that in the league. I think for us, it's been really important that the guys that we're looking to bring in that aren't our young homegrown players are guys that bring experience, that bring leadership, and that will push the younger players in training. Because, you know, again, I think the number one thing is we don't ever know who's going to come down, right? And we don't always know who's going to be available to play. So creating a culture in Dynamo 2 that when guys drop down and when guys move up, that culture is set there. And it's an easier transition for those players from moving from other teams.
Kenny Bundy joining us here, the under 23 head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Exciting that there is this. I go old school. I just call it a reserve team because it makes a little bit more sense to me. Yeah. I can't remember all the names, but I call it a reserve team. You know, how much of this team is going to mirror what the first team does? And is that something we can even expect this quickly? Because let's face it, it's a pretty fast thing that's occurring here.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, and I'll just leave it at this, and I don't want to be too general, but our goal is, and you'll hear me say this a lot, close the gap between what it is to be a young player that's not a professional or is a young professional to what it is to be a seasoned starting player playing in PNC, winning games for the Houston Dynamo. So a lot of it is mirroring what the first team does, but we also have different personnel on any given day. So, you know, again, I think the benefit of what we've done here, you know, with Paulo coming in and with the staff that he's brought in, he's been in this environment. So he understands what I'm going through and what the Dynamo 2 staff is going through. That being said, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with him for the first 2 weeks, get a real clear idea of the verbiage he uses, the style that he has. We're very connected in that. I think that's a blessing for me, is that we see the game the same way. So it's been a great integration into it. But, you know, for us, mirroring it to the T is always going to be difficult because you may see three games in 3 weeks and we may have three completely different lineups. But strategically, we're making sure that we're giving opportunities to the key players. And that's what's important. The other big piece of that is opportunities aren't going to be given. I think there's going to be times where, you know, guys are going to have to out-train guys no matter where they are within the club, which is a good competition to have because, you know, stature or age doesn't really mean anything unless you're performing and unless you're training hard. So I think that mirroring effect will be there, but it will be adapted based on the players we have.
Kenny, looking at the training session today, it's mostly academy players. There's some college players, I'm assuming, that have graduated. Yeah. You've got some guys that have already committed to college. So ultimately, when they go, they're not going to be eligible to play for the under 23 team. That's my understanding. But yeah. What's the build out of the roster look like? And will you sign some of those 23 or 24 year olds that may just come in simply to be guiding younger players and helping you guys move along in the league?
It's a great question because I think the one thing that we've tried to do is also learn from some other MLS teams that have had USL League One teams or USL Championship teams and try and formulate a model of success that they've used. Not necessarily take one team and say, okay, this worked and this is what we're going to do. But I think what you'll see from our group is you'll see some really, really promising young players in our academy that people don't know about. I think everybody sees the tweets and sees that we sent four players into the last U17 national team camp, right? I think people, if they have followed a little bit of the academy, they've seen that with this pilot league U23 team, we went to three or four games and had really good results. And you'll see some players that are a little older in the academy on the field. You'll see first team guys coming down, and then you will see college players that were projected potential to have first team potential that will be in that mix too. I think it's really important for us that, you know, college is still a massive gap to the MLS, and it can be a good tool for some of these guys that may need this professional environment. But, you know, the makeup will be a blend of that. And again, on any given weekend, it could be heavier on the academy side. It could be heavier on the older guys that have graduated but not gone to college and stayed with us. And then maybe heavier on the first team side. And I think that's the beauty of this project is, well, the beauty and also the work is making sure that you're getting that development from every player and you're giving them opportunities that they need at the right time.
He's Kenny Bundy, under 23 head coach, has been involved with the Dynamo Academy. All right. There's some players that are coming in from around the country that are teenagers that are bypassing maybe their local teams, the LA Galaxy, Real Salt Lake, whatever. What's the intention behind that? How does that get perceived by the youth community? I mean, obviously they're talented players. That's why you want them. But then again, we're in a city of 7 or 8 million. And, you know, some people might say, hey, why are we going outside of Houston, Texas and the metropolitan area to find players? Are they that good? And then how do you attract them to come here?
Well, look, I mean, you know this as well as I do, Glenn. I think this area and this city, it's one of the hotbeds of soccer in the past and even into the future. Not only because of the number of people we have here, but also because of the amount that the sport means to this community. You know, I've been here going on 7 years, and I think that this is a community that thrives on this game. You might not see it all the time. You might not hear about it all the time, but there are some unbelievable players that have come out of this and some that I've played with that have come through, and that was 20 years ago.
Correct.
But I think the challenge for us is obviously as the game grows and there's more opportunity, you have to evolve as well. And I think what the academy has done over the last three and a half years, as far as starting different younger clubs around the city. So the Catalyst program that has, you know, six locations for the young kids, to partnering with some of the clubs so that they want to send their best players to the professional environment. I think that's really changed everything. And then, you know, as far as why are we able to recruit some of these top talents across the country? Because the club is changing. I mean, it's hard sometimes from the outside to see the incremental change that happens. But, you know, I can tell you from my experience, everything has started to progress much faster. And the guys that we might have been losing 3 or 4 years ago, we're now getting without them even taking another visit. That has a lot to do with staffing. That has a lot to do with the ownership, has a lot to do with the front office. But also I think that we have a clear goal, and the goal is to produce as many young professionals as we can. So, you know, I think people may see one or two of these guys coming in, but we want top talent here, and top talent, it helps the young guys that we have here as well. The stronger our teams, the better individual players to become. And I think that that's really important, that we will get the best players at some point. I think we've got some of the best players, if not the best players, in Houston in certain age groups. But there's still guys out there, and you're still finding them every day. Some of the other youth clubs in town are producing unreal players. And I think as those relationships strengthen, you'll be able to see that we're producing more of those professionals.
How do you strengthen those relationships? Because there is a point. Listen, we're not going to beat around the bush here. And I've had this conversation with Paul, that there are a lot of people that are anti-Dynamo. I hate to say that. It shouldn't be that way, because, you know, going to a stadium should be part of player development because of things that have been done in the past. And I'm not branding anybody, but how do you make it, you know, hey, we're the pro club, but we want to work, and using the word that's the word of the day is collaboration with the youth community. And look, I know you just said something very respectful to the youth community and their coaches, and they're great coaches out there. I know that. I've been a part of it in years past. How do you deal with those guys on equal terms? Because I think ultimately they're going to want to organically move their best players at some point to the place where, if they've got professional ambitions, you guys are going to help consummate it.
Yeah, it's trust. I mean, let's be honest. I couldn't be more general there. Let's be honest. That's, you know, I use the word trust. I mean, that means a lot of different things, but I think it's trust. And I think one of the great things about bringing in Dynamo 2 is we'll see more young players play. We'll see more young players get these opportunities. And I think that, you know, if you are able to bring some of these youth coaches, these youth clubs in and see that there's a clear player pathway and we're developing young players and the opportunity is there, I think then it opens up more of a conversation, right? And I think that Paul has done an unbelievable job of trying to connect the community, and he's done a great job of connecting the community, but it's not something that I think happens right off the bat. You know, some people are really willing. Some people have past things that maybe make them a little hesitant, but it's a process. And I think if we're all self-aware that it is a process and we keep working at it, then we're at least closer than we could be. It's not always, you know, the first time you ask for a player that you might get that player, or the first time that you try and help a club, they want help, or they want to be a part of it. But, you know, it's just the trust that we're trying to do what's best for these kids. And that's my ultimate job. My job is to produce first team players. How we do that, it's not linear. So
anybody joining us, the under 23 head coach, this is very frank and open conversation. I really like that. Is there a way you guys could be, you could pull off, and I've asked Paul this too, pull off competitively trying to grab and get their players that early and just let it flow to you guys? I mean, look, you've got a lot of talent there. You've got players. You now have this reserve team that, you know, you may not be getting these players from around the country without the reserve team. The soccer community is educated. The better players are going to go, wow, I could be in the Dynamo Academy and I could be getting minutes on their Dynamo 2 team, right? That's something nobody else can offer.
Yeah.
Nobody else can offer. So that piece coming in, I mean, that in itself can be a recruiting tool on its own.
Yeah. And, to be honest, that's why it's massively important for us. I mean, you know, again, it's not just, but that's also something that I think the kids we already have are seeing, and you can just see the excitement that, you know, we have some really, really good players at 13, 14, 15, and now they're seeing the second team train and they're seeing the players that are playing on that, and they're going to get to go to Aviva and PNC and watch the second team play. All of a sudden, you know, that light, it's much brighter, because it sometimes is hard to think as a 15-year-old, what do I need to do? What's my path to get to the first team? It's easy to say, it's hard to see. I think now when you go to Aviva and you see a kid who's maybe 16 years old playing in a professional game, you see them being given opportunity. You see them playing against pros. Now all of a sudden there's a tangible goal at the end of it. And that's the path. So it is a big recruiting tool, but for me, it's a real opportunity for some of these guys.
But it's organic too, right? I mean, yeah. It's incredible that you just said, you know, your 13 and 14 year olds, now they can see this stuff on a daily basis simply because of the insertion of that under 23 team. And it really sows everything you guys are working hard at together. So I'm going to ask you the ultimate question. And I ask Paul this a lot. And, you know, we know what the fans want to see. Yep. You're great with the programs. It's exciting. If you're participating in it, you're in it. Your parents of kids that are in it. But what fans want to see is, when are there going to be more Houston kids running out of that tunnel? When are we going to sell a player to Europe? They see San Antonio FC selling Gallegos. They see what's going on in Dallas. This is all natural. When do you think that time is going to come? And I know it's a tough question, but you've been there long enough. There's got to be some players on the brink of signing first team contracts and then maybe going even higher.
Yeah. I mean, if I were able to give an exact timeline and get that right, then I would be the most sought after person in the country, because I think that is the question that we all ask. Now, I think the ultimate goal, that's the ultimate goal. So I'll take a step back and I'll tell you very simple what my directive is. My directive is to produce first team players. We're going to do that in a way that develops. We're going to do that in a way that is hopefully exciting to the fans.
So Kenny, can I just stop you there? Because,
yeah,
because I just want to insert something real fast. Is there a timeline on that? Kenny, we need first team players 2 to 3 years from now. We need it 3 to 4 years from now. Do you guys have a vision and a timeline of when you think that should turn?
Yeah, I think right now, you know, I have my own personal one. I have my own goals. I think from a club standpoint, you know, this project being brand new, it's a bit premature to go and say, okay, in 2 years, we need to do X, Y, and Z. But I think that for me, it's been very clear from top down, it's to produce professionals. And so, you know, for me, 2 years, we should see real development and the potential for players to be there. Again, there's so many circumstances that can happen. But my goal is in 2 years, the fan base, the club, they should really be excited about a handful of players of being future Houston Dynamo first team players. You know, that's about as detailed as a timeline as, you know, we really want to go in depth on this.
2 years, and I look at you out there with a lot of talented players that I saw today out there training, and, you know, guys that I'm going, oh, wow, you know, there's some real nice things here going on. Kenny, listen, congratulations. Best of luck with it. Let's check in again. This is great stuff. I think player development is always something of real importance to a soccer community here that has so many people involved in it, not only at the pro club with you guys at the Houston Dynamo, but throughout the city and beyond. So thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with it. And you're off to a good start.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate everything you've done to kind of push the youth development in this city. You know, it's important. And the more we talk about it, the more people know. And hopefully the more people come out and see what's going on.
Definitely do it. You will see me at a lot of games, that's for sure.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thank you for following us to this Thursday night. Always a big thank you to producer Andrew Carlson. You can get the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Click under the podcast category. You will find it there. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors. Presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture and Danish Dynamite with Jan Christensen. FM Kitchen and Bar, Cactus Music, who presents Burning Topics, and also Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10. For all of you tuning in tonight, thank you. Hit up the podcast again at ESPN975.com. And until next week, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.